Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Man, I've been watching a lot of Chernobyl.
Oh, recently. What happened there? Is it good? Is the show good?
It is a it's a big old whoopsie.
What do you mean?
What happened over there? A lot of people fucked up, and Soviet Union, in their ways, they tried to protect the rest of the world from their failure.
Thank you.
It seems to be. a lot of innocent people died. But man, radioactive fucking poisoning is legit.
Yeah, bro. It sounds absolutely horrifying. And I think your teeth, everything just slowly falls out. Your nails fall out. You die slowly. I want to be the first killed in the blast because
you
I think
better
that's
be.
The best
you
way
be.
To go.
That is the only like normal way to go because the rest of the time you just turn into soup.
Ugh.
Essentially, it breaks down your cellular forms, so you just start weeping. Your skin starts falling apart. You Ugh. Blister, and they said the worst part. And I was reading to this afterwards. The worst part is that you get the surface burns right as soon as you first get the lethal dose of radiation poisoning, and then your body normalizes
right.
for like a day. So there's like a day where you think that maybe you're like okay, like maybe you will be like you sort of feel fine.
Okay,
but then your organs just start falling apart from the inside. They say your bone marrow dies. Bone marrow dies. Your veins inside of your body split open.
That's not good.
You just become a bag of blood to the point where they can't even give you anything for the pain because
right.
the blood that would need to take to have veins to take the drug to where you like they would just have to sprinkle you with it because now that's where your blood is. You're just a pool of your own blood.
Yeah, it's never good when you're getting medication the same way that you put little sugar cylinders on ice cream. What are those things called?
What are you talking about?
Sugar,
what?
Sugar cylinders.
The way
sprinkles.
I mean, I don't
sugar sprinkles.
Jesus
chocolate
Christ.
Sprinkles. I don't
Do you
freaking
have a
know.
Fucking brain aneurysm?
I don't know. And I know
sugar
also
cylinders.
I don't
what?
Know. And also, like James Harden in that State Farm commercial, you leave a shadow on the wall. And so everyone will know the exact position you are in right before the bomb explodes or as the bomb is exploding, which is very
and
sad.
So nice they took their fucking cute little commercial to try to teach people a lesson about radioactive activity, what it does to the human body, mm-hmm. where as a matter of fact, it's actually very serious. And if you watch Chernobyl,
wow.
there's a lot of people crying.
This is where you're drawing the line. All
but you
right.
know, also the one thing, my one thing about the Chernobyl show that I will get, like the shit I will give it, uh-huh. is that it has way too many people altruistically being like, it's like, no, don't touch them. They're radioactive. And someone always turns to the nurse being like, well, you're touching them. So I can touch them. And so they go up there and like, oh, they're always wiping the gunk off of these people. And we're like, stop it. Don't touch the gunk. You're like, the gunk's going to kill you. Don't touch the gunk.
Well, that should be the name of your first comedy special. Don't touch the gunk.
It will be.
Who wants it? Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? This is Side Stories. I am Benjamin Grant Kissel, BGK, along with Henry Thomas Zabrowski, HTZ.
What's HTZ up? House.
I want to get
up?
More monogram things.
Oh, yeah. I got a monogram bathrobe from way back in the day, and it does make you feel like King Ralph. Remember that John Goodman movie? You just feel something about monograms where you're just like, if anyone.
It's yours.
Else, it's mine now. Yes.
If someone else wears it, it's officially impostery and they can go to jail.
Absolutely.
Which I think that should happen. That should be a legal precedent. When I was working with Marty on Wolf of Wall Street, You remember Marty? You ever meet Marty?
Well, now the name Marty is associated with that horrible robot. So you're talking Martin Scorsese, which, by the way, his job can never be taken by a robot unless, of course, it is one day and it's totally possible.
He's getting older.
Yeah.
So eventually, I mean, the eye does fade, but all of his clothes are monogrammed.
Really?
Like he has an MS belt. He has a belt that says MS. He has a little MS on his jeans. He wears nothing but Armani denim.
Maybe it's just a reminder of a horrible diagnosis he got from the doctor. Multiple sclerosis.
It's his initials.
Ah, it's his initials.
It's his initials.
Dictators and directors. It's dictators and directors that demand everything be monogrammed because they're power-hungry maniacs.
It's fun to do. I want to get it for myself. So you go make sure you know your identity. But Mr. Scorsese also did a thing when I did ADR with him. He didn't want to go. Like the ADR studio was like only like 3 or 4 blocks from his home, but he didn't want to leave. So he did it from his home and from within his house. I saw a little bit of his living room. He wears gold satin pajamas.
Oh my God. It's always nice to go to bed feeling like you're a Werther's original. That's what I like, you know, absolutely. All right, well, we got some fun. Well, no, fun is not the right word. We got some interesting stories, and we also had a lot of really cool emails sent in to sidestories.lpotl@gmail.com. So keep those coming, and we'll read a few of those emails a little bit later on in the episode. Also, just a small note when it comes to shooting the emails. No need to. First of all, thank you so much for all the love. Like we love
so much. It's insane
so
how many people send us nice emails, nice notes. Which you go, yes. Oh, we'll always take. I need validation. When you send an email to be read, we're gonna read them. So just put a little paragraph so we can really chunk it out.
Yeah, just so our brains can be like, oh, I digested that relatively fast, and now we can share it with the world. So thank you all so much for emailing. So we'll get to a couple of listener emails in just a little bit. But let's start with our first story here.
I want to do a rebuttal.
Oh, you want me?
Against
oh, my
the rebuttal.
Goodness. That's right. We have a rebuttal. I nearly forgot. Okay, now this has been something that, Henry, I know you've been stewing on all week. I want to thank everyone that we saw in Kansas City, Denver, and Salt Lake City. It was incredible.
Can't wait for Vancouver. Fucking Vancouver. You got to get these tickets.
Please come out in Vancouver. I know it's close to Seattle, but just if you're in the Vancouver area, come and see us. Hang out with us. We cannot wait to see you.
Kissel will give you a little kiss if you come to Vancouver.
I don't.
If you buy a VIP ticket, this is a guarantee. If you get a VIP ticket, this is true. Ben Kissel will kiss each person that gets a VIP ticket to the Vancouver show.
You are literally pimping out the tallest person on the pod. You're doing that to me. I'm here.
It's a VIP ticket, yes, but for $300 he'll go around the world. You know what I mean? You get the full package. All right, he's gonna do the double down. That's what we call it on my menu my working girls.
Well, speaking of double downs, this rebuttal has KFC in the crosshairs. We've got a little rebuttal to make against KFC's rebuttal about our story.
Okay, so last week, our hero of the week,
right,
was a young man from who went to a South African KFC who pretended to be an official.
Yes.
From KFC officials or whatever the headquarters. He showed up in a limo and he'd flash a badge and he'd go in and get free chicken.
Right.
Now, it has been said that it is a hoax.
It's been said.
But I want to really talk about it for a hot second.
Okay.
Because, the story comes out. It was originally reported by a newspaper called Daily Act of Kenya.
Okay.
And reported on May 13th that a 27-year-old college student from Durban had tricked KFC restaurants into giving him food. He would allegedly pull up to the restaurants in a limousine,
right,
flash a card designating him from the head office, and ask to sample food for quality control. Now, the outlet has also claimed that the student had been arrested, but many people on Twitter and us called him a legend. We said that this guy was a fucking hero.
Yep.
And then KFC South Africa issued a tweet saying, which is very interesting. I like their little cute fucking response. Right?
Okay.
Which is, it would be legendary if only it were true.
Whoa.
Which is what they said, right? KFC South Africa, the official tweet was, fake is as good as this story gets. As legendary as it would be, we can confirm that this is false. We haven't kept the secret recipe secret for this long, only to be duped by a student, winky face.
Uh-oh.
Now, I think what we're seeing here is classic cover-up behavior.
Really?
Belittling the situation.
Uh-huh.
Acting as if you're on their side, and you wish it were true. Oh, you wish. KFC wishes they were true. Because, oh, wouldn't that be, quote-unquote, epic AF? Isn't that what the kids are saying? Wouldn't that be lit, Bible? Oh, yeah, I can see they got the 45-year-old man there dressed in a little teen shirt with his fucking little baby shorts on, acting like a little girl. I know what he's trying to do.
Oh,
I know what he's trying to fucking say.
Yeah,
these social media, quote-unquote, officers. Did you go to fucking boot camp to be a social media officer,
there
Mr. KFC
is.
South Africa?
Well, so very interesting. And, Henry, I think
that they're lying.
I think
they're trying to cover up how easy it is to insinuate yourself into the back offices of the KFC. They want to act like the KFC, that each KFC, no matter where it is like the fucking Pentagon.
Right.
But I tell you what, I don't think so, because I could show up in a Colonel Sanders outfit and I'd at least get 10 to 12 chefs and customers at a restaurant to sit on my knee and take pictures with me before anybody realized I'm just some kind of Southern pervert.
Right. Well, they might think you're Daryl Hammond, who was the colonel for a little while. So, you know, I know maybe for the sake of better radio, I should say point counterpoint, but I'm just going to do this. I agree wholeheartedly with you, Henry. I think that KFC realized they have a huge security breach. This is embarrassing. It's a big time blemish. This is like when that one dude ran. It's a blemish. It's like when that one dude ran into the White House and security and the Secret Service was just like, what?
Yep.
I think that KFC realized there's a massive blind spot in hiding their secrets, and the word is now out. If you want to dupe KFC employees, it's just as easy as flashing a lanyard, having confidence, going back to where they're making the sandwiches, and asking for a taste test.
But now we got to shift. So now what I'd say, you'd have to even go as far as to get a full degree from the KFC chicken school. And I don't know if they even have that.
They probably do, actually. I'm going to look that up. I know
McDonald's
does.
If we have a
does.
Listener, I want to find a listener who has the moral strength to go through KFC chicken school. They go to their wing university. I don't want you to go through the system. I want you to come out the other end and be our mole. And find out, number one, what's that secret recipe? All right, because now the game's on, KFC.
Honestly,
the game's on because if you're worried about your precious recipe being stolen.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, you're like a sieve, and we're like a bunch of wet spaghetti. It's gonna slide in there. We're sending our army.
Well,
we're sending our army, KFC.
Doesn't wet spaghetti stick? Isn't that the whole point? Anyway, the only thing that I was able to find on KFC when it comes to KFC University, this is really a disgusting story. I'm just going to read the headline. KFC offers college tuition money for a baby that was named Colonel Sanders. So this poor kid has to go through life named Colonel Sanders. Maybe we should have more affordable education in this country so we don't have to prostitute our child. So be like, I'm going to name my child Wendy. Wendy Thomas.
How are you so dedicated to KFC?
I don't
know. You would give your child the name of Colonel Sanders. And again, I'm going to imagine the history of the real Colonel Sanders might have been a mite problematic. I think that's the term.
Oh, yeah. No, he likes the Robert E. Lee statue in South Carolina because of history.
History.
Not hate.
It's heritage, buddy. It's about celebrating how they lost.
I know. Of course, we always build monuments to the losers. That's how it works. All right. Well, there you go. Our rebuttal against the rebuttal by KFC. I don't trust them one bit. And that's why Henry will always be a Popeyes guy.
I'm Popeyes guy.
I know it. I know it.
I still will eat KFC, though.
Very brave. Hashtag brave.
I am a whore for chicken.
I know what you are.
No.
I know what you're up to.
Okay.
Well,
chicken.
Do you want to do this story about this college professor, speaking of education?
Yes, this is a cool story.
So the headline here is one of the strangest cases, a dead professor, a hot tub, and a suicide baffle plea. So evidently, it was the pre-dawn hours of Sunday morning. They pulled up to this long driveway that led to a cabin surrounded by pines. This was in It's Milledgeville?
Milledgeville.
Very bizarre. Okay, so something was wrong. The cops were like, something's crazy here. Three folks, a beloved University Georgia entomology professor, a retired psychologist turned yoga studio owner, which I love that turn in life to be like, I'm a psychologist. You know what? Let's go the yoga route. I think that's
honestly,
a brilliant
thing. You go straight to small business owner, and if you really like yoga, I mean, the hot second I was doing yoga, I could see how you get into it as a lifestyle because it's fun. It makes you feel stretchy.
Absolutely. And a car salesman. So this is straight out of like a Tarantino movie. A professor, a yoga studio owner, and a car salesman all get together. And of course, the car salesman recently quit his job. They were gathered near a swimming pool. All three of them were nude, having a little fun. The professor, Maureen Shockley, she was 43, was dead, and the two men were apparently trying to revive her with CPR. So the cops roll on this scene.
I love this cop statement.
Yes, and so they see two naked men trying to resuscitate a naked woman. So if you're a cop, you're like, I'm going to put my detective cap on now.
I love this quote. Now, I don't know how to explain this to people who are not in our business, but when we first arrived at the crime scene, there was just something about it that was not right.
Was it the no clothes and them resuscitating a woman who was dead?
And it was just sort of a bizarre, different kind of case.
I see. So when you didn't think it could get even stranger, the cops were waiting to interview this guy, Clark Handel. He was the former psychologist.
No, so this is insane. So he's waiting to be interviewed.
Yes.
Clark Handel is waiting to be interviewed. This is the guy that does the yoga studio, so he should technically be like, chill.
Super chill, super like doing your downward dog. He was not chill. He ended up committing suicide
immediately
before the cops could interview him. So now we have two bodies. This is like, obviously it's not comical at all, but doesn't it? It's sort of reading like Four Rooms. You remember
it
that
does.
Movie?
It does feel like a it feels like a Coen Brothers movie. It feels like a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, it does.
So that wasn't even the guy they were really looking at.
Right.
They were looking at Marcus Lillard, the other guy who was dating Shockley, but he hasn't admitted to playing a role in her death, but now he's facing murder charges.
Okay. So though the 69-year-old owned the home in central Georgia where the professor was found dead, officials have said that his suicide is not an indication of guilt. Instead, they pointed, as Henry said, to Marcus Lillard, who was 41. So I got to say this. This 69-year-old who owns the house and owns the yoga studio, he's hanging out with some pretty young cats, 41 and 43. He must be a pretty hip dude.
I mean, honestly, it sounds like he's very much so in shape. This is a very confusing case because they called basically making a big show saying that they believed that the professor, that Marianne Shockley, had drowned.
Mm-hmm.
But when they arrived, they found that she was suffering from a head wound and they believed that she had been dead for much longer than what they had posited.
So I'm assuming that we had some drugs at play here. The name of the yoga studio was Good Karma, interestingly enough. And so the woman who passed away, the professor, she ran a educational summer program, affectionately known as Bug Camp, and her family wrote that in her obituary. Apparently, she was deeply passionate about insects and all these kinds of things, and she would treat her students and campers to Chex Mix and featured roasted mealworms or Rice Krispie treats made with freeze-dried crickets. So my thing here is, she knows how to survive. She's an outdoorsy type person. This must have been like a full-on assault.
Well, you'll see this, that we don't really know what's happening here. So apparently, Lillard, who identified himself as Shockley's boyfriend, he said that he had gone out to the woods for about 15 minutes to gather firewood.
Okay.
When he returned, he said he had found her passed out in the hot tub. Now, according to an incident report, he claimed that he had pulled her out of the tub but fell down while he was carrying her, and he said that's how she got the head injury, because he slipped on the tile and fucking smacked her head against the ground.
Okay.
The Heindel, the other guy, he seemed to corroborate the story, claiming that he had been swimming at the far end of the pool while Lillard was busy gathering firewood. As soon as his friend pointed out that Shockley was unresponsive, which he maybe could have known, but we don't know anything about it, they pulled her out and they tried to perform CPR on her. They said that she was still breathing faintly. They had chosen to wait 45 minutes before calling for help. But the deputies say that the firewood story doesn't make any sense because it had rained heavily that day and there was no chance sodden twigs and branches on the forest floor would have been capable of catching a spark.
Interesting. They also say the professor was bleeding heavily from the head injury, and EMTs got the sense that she had been dead for longer than they had been told. To deputies, something seemed odd about the way the two men, who had been friends for several years, were behaving. So, yeah, the hot tub story doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense if there's a bunch of
blood.
But
this is really interesting. There's a bunch of weird shit, because that wasn't even that. There was already a large pile of firewood near the pool.
Wow.
And so the deputies, they separated the dudes. They put Lillard in a patrol car. Heindel was still, he was waiting on the front porch. They went to go interview Lillard, and they heard a shotgun blast from inside the house.
Yep, so the deputies knocked on the house's front door and called out for Heindel. Just then, he heard a shotgun blast go off inside the house, and that's when he found Heindel dead of a self-inflicted gunshot to the head. This is according to the family. They say, "We view this as a terrible incident. We are very sorry for his family." Officials don't believe that Heindel played any role in Shockley's death. The Athens Banner-Herald reported, quote, "This is pure speculation on my part, but maybe he was embarrassed that this happened at his house." Is that possible that he would just be... This story is really, really crazy. Or maybe he was just like so racked with guilt. So was he racked with guilt because somebody died at his house? Or was he racked with guilt because he murdered someone and realized he was about to go take the fall for it? Normal situation here for this man to off himself.
I think that he might have done it I think embarrassment is actually a huge deal. I think that he realized what was going to happen here. Maybe he did know the truth.
Uh-huh.
It seems that there could have been some sort of horrible accident. They don't know what's happened. I don't know if there was even murder, because they all knew each other.
Right.
Lillard and Heindel had been friends for 3 or 4 years, and Shockley and Lillard were dating for only a couple of months. Now, 2 hours before Heindel called 911, so they waited for 2 hours.
Right, okay.
Lillard had been texting and calling friends asking, how to get somebody back to life?
Okay, but
he also allegedly queried his friends about whether they knew CPR and begged for help.
Okay, I will say, Henry, if you send me a text how to get somebody back to life, I'm just going to say you got to muddle a bunch of stuff, whatever you have in your house, muddle it together and see if that works. And if not, buddy, you got to get out of there. You got to run.
I mean, you just got to leave. Yeah. I think that's pretty much number one. I'm not going to say I'd help you cover up a crime, but I definitely just say, like, stop texting me. You know what I mean?
That is the first thing. It's called leaving a bit of an e-paper trail. So
you're doing a paper trail here. Please stop it.
It is always so funny that people like Casey Anthony, if they would have just looked at the right frickin' account, what was it, the Firefly account, I believe, that she was
on. It didn't matter. She got off with it, so it didn't even matter. She did was correct.
But she definitely searched the exact thing she wanted to do to her poor child. So in his obituary, the retired psychologist, that's the man who committed suicide, he helped countless people with their, quote, private demons, and he would actually go and be a therapist at Georgia's prisons. And later his private clinical practice said, quote, "The loss of a friend on his watch was a burden too great to bear." So he said, "This friend died on my watch. I have got to commit suicide." I don't know. That just seems like, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Although in this case, I do understand we're dealing with some pretty heavy stuff here. But what a bizarre, bizarre story. And of course, Henry mentioned the body. The woman was dead for 2 hours. They lied and said 45 minutes. Do you think you just lie because you're so over your head? You're just so in shock that you're like, we better make it seem as good as possible, because it's pretty bad. It looks pretty bad at this point.
I think that, obviously my opinion, when you panic, there's a part of you for a hot second that says this isn't real.
Right.
This is all going to be okay. It's like, have you ever seen somebody really, really, really get hurt? I remember when Lexi, our friend, accidentally fell down the stairs, and it's like this thing where you watch, it's just like slow motion.
It is, yeah.
And you're like, they're also going to be thing being like, oh, shit. Is this person going to be really, really hurt? Like, that pause. You ever really got hurt? And then, like, but right before it, like, there's that feeling of being like, maybe I'm cool. Maybe I'm okay. And then you're like, oh no, I'm like jacked up.
Right.
I'm like, I'm like fucked up. I think that there is that hover point where you're like, maybe this is a, maybe she'll be cool. You can go like, wake up, you know, and then it doesn't happen. And then you think, hey, we're all smart enough. We could figure our way out around this. This was some sort of accident.
Sure.
Like maybe that's what we'll do. Cause I don't think that it's straight up just like bashed her head in. It sounds like she, the other dude wasn't paying attention and was in the pool. Like the guy was like, and the other guy was doing something. Maybe they could have been just been having sex with each other.
Could be.
Everyone was like, they didn't want to talk about it. And maybe so she fell and hit her head and fell in the water. I don't know.
It is extremely possible. Obviously, they were all nude. So, I mean, you could definitely go skinny dipping as well. But maybe they were swinging a little bit, having a good time. And maybe that was why the professor felt so much embarrassment. Or the therapist, rather. I don't know. Either way, the sheriff have said it's the strangest case they've ever worked. And, yeah, what a crazy, crazy story indeed. And if you've ever been involved, as Henry was talking about, if you've ever been involved in a car accident, that is your first reaction. You get hit, and then you just kind of pat your body, and then you're just like okay.
What's happening? Like, I'm not dead. Cool. Am I okay? I don't know. You're like pausing and waiting because it's trauma. Even if you're doing the crime, and they talk about, even serial killers talk about the idea that in many ways, murderers are also traveling around there with their own PTSD from what they've done. You do it, and there's a point in time where you kind of sit. There's a non-reality window, I think, and then it slowly begins to seep in what you've done, unless you've jazzed your pants. And once you've given yourself a squirt, you're probably, that's when the thinking's pretty clear normally.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's why Jeffrey Dahmer, who we cover great, there's a great chapter in our book coming out in February. Cannot wait for you guys to read this book, by the way. Pre-order now. If you get a chance, pre-order
it. I don't think they can.
I think that they can.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? Check if you can. If you can pre-order, pre-order now. If you can't, wait until you can, and then pre-order it. Jeffrey Dahmer, of course, he had to drink to silence the demons because he would constantly wake up. And we know he was a product killer. He didn't really like to kill. He just wanted the bodies. And that's a conundrum. Then you find yourself in a pickle.
It's a bit of a pickle.
And that's why he had to get blackout drunk to kill, and also had to continue to be blackout drunk to forget that he killed. So
then I just drink to relax. I just drink to sit and watch Chernobyl. And then we have a nice time. It's like right now we're in the middle of we have a really exciting episode coming up this week on Last Podcast Proper, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. But I'm doing a lot of research late into the night, and it's so fun to have a couple of drinks in there. And then, you know, I mean, like, now I'm just talking about how much I like to drink. Talking about helping me.
We'll classify that as our mandatory uncle's corner for the show.
Live from your grave. Live from your grave.
I want to talk about, someone wrote us a letter about psychic vampires.
Ooh.
I want to read from this week's episode about psychic vampires. Really great response. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show and being into it. We fixed the audio issues, all that bullshit. But I love psychic vampires.
Awesome.
And this is a letter from a listener who goes by S.
Ooh.
My friend is what she calls a sexual vampire.
Uh-oh.
Yes, she does feed off the energy of people, but only of those that she is doing sexual acts with. She drains the energy of a consenting man and comes to understand their truest emotions, becoming full off of it and not needing to eat for at least 2 days afterwards because there is no feeling of hunger. No, this is not. This is energy.
I love it. I am not being dirty. I'm not having it.
No, you're not. No, of course not. Never. Not you.
No.
She said she was turned by a man in New York after an intense sexual experience in which he was bitten on the neck and received visions.
Ooh.
Afterwards, she felt a difference in presence from people, specifically their psychic energy, and hungered to get that energy from men.
Oh my.
And also, after this quote-unquote turning, she began to have night terrors in which an incubus or ghost would haunt her at night. This would include the often reported feeling of having someone sitting on their chest, but also the feeling that she was having sex with this unknown entity and that it felt good,
ooh,
but horrifying because of its otherworldliness. She also told me that after she had had sex, the man would be visibly exhausted and weak because of the draining. and it seemed to be spiritually controlled by her. Anything, no matter how ridiculous the man would do directly after sex, it was asked by her. Do you do anything? Now, this is not something she gloats about. Honestly, she hasn't spoken about it in years because she thinks it's a little crazy for even having these experiences. It scares her, and she can't find any reasonable excuse for why these strange occurrences have happened, and she would probably be angry if she knew I told you guys.
Well,
but she doesn't listen to murder podcasts, so we're safe.
Okay, well, thank God, because I don't need to have my essence drained.
I think you do, though.
I don't.
Honestly, I get real tired.
Of course.
I don't go right to sleep. I'm a cuddler, and I like to do a lot of post game wrap up.
Oh, sure. Yeah. How was
it?
The checklist. Yeah, of course. Oh, that's great. That's great. I'm happy. That's better than Triple D or.
But those experiences, I can just imagine being that dude. It's so hard because, you know, you just hooked up and you thought it'd be cool. But next thing you know, you had sex with a psychic vampire and now you're dressed as a chicken on the freeway. And you're like, I don't know what I do. I don't know what it is. I've done a lot of weird things. I've committed to a lot of things during sex. You know what I mean? Like, in the moment of sex, you could ask a man or a woman. Like, for the most part, I will speak for men, is that once the man is inside whatever the hole is at the time, you could really ask a lot.
Sure.
And get it. Like, yeah. you could get it right then. That's how you get. That's what we need to send workers at the government.
Uh-huh.
To suck the drain essence from these pieces of shit.
I have a feeling there are a number of sex workers already engaged in acts with members of the government. But indeed, they probably know some of our largest secrets. That's what happened with General Petraeus. That woman is writing a book on him. He ended up having an affair with her, and then he just told her all of the top secret information of the U.S. military. He was forced to resign in shame. Yeah,
honestly, man, what are you gonna do? You gonna keep all that a secret? You're not gonna. You know how juicy it gets her, and you're sitting there, and you're like, you got all these bombs you got to drop that's gonna seal the deal. So you do.
It's kind of important to keep it a secret.
This is why I don't work for the Pentagon.
Well, I don't either. We are two chatty Cathys here. All right. Well,
I like gossip.
Thank you so much for sharing that story of the sexual vampire.
And that actually brings another story to light where it's like, I'll briefly mention this because there's a lot to unpack in here. Somebody introduced to me the concept of a limbo sexual or limbo queer, which is, I guess to put it simply, I found this from, someone sent the thread from a Twitter account. I don't even want to name the Twitter account, but it's from a real Twitter account because I don't want anybody to take this sideways. I just am, I'm deeply interested in this.
Okay.
Limbo sexual or limbo queer is a sexual and romantic spiritual attraction towards dead people.
Uh-huh.
There's apparently a lot of wide variety of diversity, and apparently they get really, really upset if you call them a necrophiliac.
Okay.
You see, it's very harmful, and it's a toxic accusation, and it invalidates, and it hurts them.
I suppose the sexual pleasure does come from the undead or the dead.
This is a further clarifying statement.
Okay.
I should explain that not all people attracted to dead people are necrophiliacs, and they are not just corpses, and it's discriminatory to assume every limbo sexual wants to engage in sex with a dead body.
Okay.
For one, there are ashes too, and spirits and ghosts, and we love the spirits of those who have passed on. Rubbing the cremated ashes of your loved one that you had not known in their life is a great way to connect with that piece of them when they're so far away.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
No. It's a lot. There's a lot of these.
There's more than that. Okay.
There's a dude named Andrew F. Blaze, who's an example of a limbosexual. Sadly, her love for the dead, she murdered herself so that she could date her girlfriend. She committed suicide so she could date the ghost that she was dating.
All right. Well, don't commit suicide for sexual purposes or for any purposes there, folks. Interesting. You never know. People are unique beings, to say the least.
This person straight up says that Phil Spector loved freshly dead flesh.
Well, that's a problem there. He is
incarcerated. And it led to him abusing his wife and killing a woman in his home.
Did you know
that that was a wig?
Yes, I think we all knew that was a wig. Because he's no longer allowed to wear the wig in prison, and he looks like the tall dude from Rocky Horror Picture Show. He looks like the guy, it's like Hulk
Riff
Hogan's
Raff.
Just like strings of hair. But he's still keeping up.
It's not attractive.
All right.
It's not attractive.
Limbosexual.
They have their own set of... Well, they have their own set of pronouns as well. They call themselves die or died or dead self or limb or limber. And there's a bunch of different, there's a lot of rules here, man.
It seems like it. You never know what's going to happen.
There's a lot of people just, I love ghosts.
Yeah, of course. Everyone loves ghosts. I can't wait to be a ghost. It's really exciting, I'm sure. All right. Well, sticking in the world of Supernatural, I have one email here that I just want to read a blurb of. This man, he was in the Navy for 9 years. Thank you for everything you did. God knows what that 9 years was like. But he's like, I finally feel comfortable because I'm about to break up with here with the military. I'm about to get back and just be a civilian. So I'm going to tell you guys this little story. So he says, I got a lot of strange memories. And he says, oh, they feel kind of like a blurry dream. But this one, he swears, he said, this really happened. He says, we used to travel out of distance every couple of weeks and stay for a few days to do exercises. That was around 250 miles from the shore of Oahu. It's O-A-H-U. Ahu? Ahu?
I don't Oahu.
Know. No, that's...
Yeah, that is, it's in Hawaii. O-A-H-U, that's Oahu.
Oh, Oahu. Oh, very fun. So they used to travel 250 miles off the shore of Oahu. All I remember from these instances is that I was outside admiring the clear skies and the stars, reflections off the water while listening to the waves. Honestly, that sounds extremely nice, doesn't it?
Sounds wonderful.
So yeah. Nice. Something I used to love to do. Then he says, I remember seeing a massive black square in the distance that I never would have seen if it hadn't blocked out a large portion of the stars and the horizon. That's all I remember. I don't know how I reacted to it or what I did after. It's real weird, like a complete blank spot in my mind. The bit I can remember is pretty fuzzy too. I'm pretty sure this happened at least half a dozen times. So this is not the first black triangle kind of UFO.
Black cube.
This is really common, isn't it?
Well, there's been many sightings of a giant black cube. We received other emails about a black cube. There was also the popular story about a black cube UFO over El Paso in 2015. An online entity, this is the Secure Team 10. They basically said a couple hundred people over at 1 p.m. in the afternoon saw a giant jet black cube in the sky.
Okay.
So the things got very windy and the center of some swirling clouds became this black cube. This is the man snapped the photo. A massive cube-shaped UFO appeared. Now, I am personally at a loss for words, according to one person, because this thing is fucking mind-blowing, dude.
Sounds like it.
No, you do not know what it is. Is it a craft? Is it an entity from another fucking dimension? Is it a probe sitting here from a higher intelligence in another galaxy?
What's
this
that?
Shit's crazy.
Oh, it's a Wendy's hamburger patty. It's the world's largest Wendy's hamburger patty in the sky.
They did it so they could fit more sandwiches on the grill.
Oh, that's amazing.
I don't know. I actually don't know. Also, it's because they don't expand. They don't shrink when you put the holes in them.
Very good.
I'm not sure.
Very good.
But the MUFON went ahead and they believe that the UFO footage, what they have, which I'm looking at right here, they believe that it is computer generated and that it is fake. But that actually angers one witness, at least, who says, all I can say is that I was there and I saw this thing with my own two eyes. I personally took a picture of it. I hope that my doing this interview can confirm that this did happen. No one is going to tell me different.
No.
For sure.
I'm not going to do it. Catch me outside. No way I would bother with you. Well,
it was very, very interesting. There's that one. I want to read some more. Do we want to read some more letters?
Sure, we absolutely can.
Worth the time period.
We can do that, and then let's do Hero of the Week, because it also has something to do with aliens.
I just thank you so much for the response this week on some of these UFO letters.
Here's
another UFO letter from C sent us this letter. I'm going to read this letter. I heard your call for U.S. military UFO stories, and I thought I'd share mine. Mm-hmm. I was stationed at Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar from 2015 to 2016. I used to guard the munitions, bombs, missiles, and ammo in the edge of the base.
Dude, honestly, that is the scariest thing to guard,
because
if they do blow it up, it's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot of bullets flying.
On December 25th, 2015, the base had a huge rainstorm, and I had a 12-hour gate shift that freaked me out.
Hmm.
After finishing my dinner, I noticed a humming sound outside my shack. I didn't think anything of it, but it just kept going until I stepped out of my gate check. I was pretty familiar with all the aircraft on the base and the noises they made.
Right.
But I looked around for the aircraft making the noise and couldn't see one. That is until the rain went to a drizzle and the clouds parted a little bit. From what I could see, there were three blue lights above in a triangle pattern with littler white lights in between. The weird part for me is that the hovering shape didn't match any helicopter I knew and the sound was different.
Wow.
I waited listening to the humming that seemed to have an added low screeching for 5 minutes and then I called it into my command. However, as soon as I keyed the radio, it hopped backwards and fell at a 90-degree angle towards the ground. I told my command what happened and what I saw, but everything was shuffled away as this wasn't the first time that this hadn't been that this has been brought up.
Basically,
said people have seen this shit before.
That
was done was that an additional gate guard was assigned.
To freak out two people. That's great. Wow, that is so creepy. Thank you so much for sending
those stories. Disclosure is
coming, bro. Disclosure is coming, and people in the military, I think they're on the front lines, man. The military, they know what's going on up there in the skies. Lord knows they also know what spacecrafts the U.S. has. I'm sure they also know what other nations have as far as spacecrafts or as far as aircrafts. So they know what normal lights are supposed to look like. So I think those sources are extremely reliable for that reason.
Military witnesses are my favorite witnesses. These are the people that I truly do understand. There are a lot of these guys, especially pilots. Their jobs are to observe. This is what they do. They are the ones that are on the front line seeing these things all the time. Mm-hmm. So there's something about this. Marcus and I have a broad theory about military and the UFO and UFOs
that we're going
to be talking about this week when we do this week's episode, where we have a broad theory that I think is interesting. Do you want to hear another UFO story?
Let's do one more and then let's do Hero of the Week.
I've got a UFO story for when I was in the Navy. I was deployed in an aircraft carrier, I believe in the Arabian Gulf. I was on duty on the bridge one night. My job many times would be the liaison between the lookouts, radar operator, and the watch officer on the bridge. This particular night, I had a lookout tell me he saw something on the horizon, but he could only see it with the night vision goggles on. So he said I didn't know what it was, but it looked like a rectangular craft with lights across it hovering above the water. I looked at the radar and didn't have anything at its location. I went to tell the watch officer and he acknowledged the report, but given its distance, it wasn't important. The lookout and I were talking more and I started getting really excited. Was this my chance to see a UFO?
Right.
I had someone take over the radio because I absolutely had to see this for myself. I ran up to the lookout and looked out the night vision goggles and sure enough, there it was, out on the horizon, just hovering. Whoa, it's a UFO. Oh my God. Why was no one as excited as I was? I went back inside and soon after the lookout phoned me, Bridgeport, lookout. So that thing just dropped into the water and it's gone. Whoa.
That's what she wrote. Honestly, yeah. That is awesome. Maybe I should have signed up for the military. Oh no, I would be dead many, many years ago. If I would have signed up for the military, I would have signed up in the year 2000 and then been deployed to Iraq a few years later and I would have been like, so what do y'all eat here? And then it would have just been a series of different bullets barraging me and my body and my brain. So very good. Awesome. All right. Well, let's do Hero of the Week.
Recordings of number stations. I love listening to them. And it can be a real magic sometimes.
Hero of the Week. Hero of the Week. Yeah. Hero of the Week.
Now, this is not just the Hero of the Week.
No, this might
this
be
is
hero
of a generation.
Of a generation. Okay. Ghostbusters, Dan Aykroyd. Of course, we love Dan Aykroyd with all of... honestly, Dan Aykroyd is just one of my favorite people. And he is leaning in. He says, aliens are here. Not just here. They want to have sex with human women. Okay.
Yep.
So the Ghostbuster star is convinced aliens are already here. They want to have sex with human women. The actor says he has personally seen 4 UFOs and that most extraterrestrials who pop by Earth are, quote, just tourists coming to look at our beautiful planet. However, the star is concerned that some aliens want to harm people and use them as, quote, lab rats. And Dan is convinced that 60% of us already know this is true. So Dan yep. Aykroyd, not just a Ghostbuster, he's also an alien hunter. And he believes there are four different alien races that have already reached Earth. Some are just here to put some sunscreen on their little alien noses and go to the beach like John Candy in Summer Rental. Others are here to use and abuse our women. So the proof going on here, this is what he told a local newspaper. He says, the proof is going to start dribbling out. The aliens are interested in your ova, your femininity, your reproductive parts, and your DNA. He also says they would love to draw blood and fluid and would love to impregnate a woman and produce a hybrid baby. This is what they are up to.
Oh, yeah, buddy. That's standard hybrid theory.
Yep.
He does believe that it's happening. There's a lot of people that are talking about it. I am actually voicing doing narration for a documentary about hybrids.
Okay.
Alien-human hybrids that will be coming out pretty soon that I can't wait to tell people about. I think it's very, very interesting. I think that the Dan Aykroyd, he knows it because he's been in the world of entertainment. How many of these hybrids are we meeting? Every other supermodel.
Yes.
Every other supermodel is in a hybrid.
And
that's why they are so skinny. They're so skinny, and they got their big cheekbones, and they got the light little bones. And that's why I could pull the arms and legs off a model. With just my hands.
Well, I don't recommend it.
I'm not trying to attack these models.
So Dan Aykroyd on the front lines of alien disclosure.
Have you ever watched Dan Aykroyd unplugged on UFOs?
No, I actually have not. Is it on YouTube?
You should just do it. It's fucking wonderful.
Oh, of course I will.
It was on Netflix for many years. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. It is great. It's just Dan Aykroyd. It's where he said he was doing an interview series, like a late night show for sci-fi, and that he was shut down by the Men in Black.
Really?
He said that he was getting too far. That's just what he said. I think he was canceled. But I do believe that they were in suits.
Studio executives do dress like the Men in Black. So,
yes.
You know, maybe
with the
he
weird,
was
with the
something.
No lips and all the and the red, and the lipstick spread up to the top. Always
right.
Like that. Yes.
So when we think about Dan Aykroyd, Henry, I actually sent you that story being like, he's just living his best life. Are you going to like carbon copy what he has done now in his last 30 years of life? Or do you want to kind of do something a little bit different? Because I will give him credit on this. He has never wavered. And he has never even accepted the criticism. He doesn't give a crap.
Why would he?
I mean, he's great. That's why I would love Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd. I would love to just sit down and just hear them talk about this.
I don't know if they enjoy each other anymore, but
I do think
they might still joke around.
Maybe.
Dan Aykroyd seems like such a funny guy. We got to get a hold of him. There's got to be a way to figure out a way to have contact with Dan Aykroyd. I think we could do it.
Yes.
He's the real deal. Like, he really
is.
Does believe in it. And yes, would I like my career to be like his? Yes, but you have to make Ghostbusters first.
Ah, right.
But the problem is that he made his money, and now he's doing exactly what he wants. The same thing with Tom DeLonge.
Yep.
People ridicule Tom DeLonge, but Tom DeLonge is just living his best life.
Why
he's
not?
He's doing the thing that he always wanted to do. I mean, for a while, and now he's putting his money where his mouth is. Dan Aykroyd is, yes, and that's why, and everybody roasts him, don't they? And they call him a friggin' goober.
Well,
right, like they do all this stuff because he actively believes in aliens and shit, and they ridicule him. So the CIA's secret plan to use their fucking to all of their mocking to destroy the flow of truth is working, isn't it?
It is in many ways, although it does seem like the truth is getting out there. Some may call Dan Aykroyd a goober, but we here on Side Stories with Last Podcast on the Left call him Hero of the Week.
He's a hero my entire life. You got to look up to him. He is a guy that I just find him inspirational. He still loves his beautiful wife.
He's a wonderful guy.
He's got a good, you know, like he's looking okay.
He is. He's actually 66 years old. He's stayed in relatively good shape. And you know what's interesting? I'm happy he's so young. I just read that 66. I actually, for some reason, thought he would be in mid-70s at this point.
I don't know why I thought he'd be older, too. Yeah, that actually does make me feel better, because we got at least a solid, like, we got a solid 10 years
where
he can actually do stuff. We got, like, 10 years left with him, and then he'll begin his decline.
Well, or maybe he'll run for president, because it seems like 76 is the new 20. 76 is the new 36 when it comes to running for office, I guess.
If there was a way for me to never vote for somebody over the age of 65, I would. If just one of these old people would just stop running for president. Just stop. I fucking hate it. I hate watching these old people.
That's age discrimination, Mr.
It's not age discrimination. You're too old. Bernie Sanders' skin is falling off of his fucking skull. His skin is just splitting. You can't be president if you're falling down in the shower. You got to be able to stand up.
You got
to
get the grippy things on the shower floor, get some handlebars in there.
Oh,
you'll be all right.
No, that's not what the president should have. A fucking handicapped shower?
I don't know.
That's not true. I honestly believe that there's strong people that have handicaps that could do that. I think it'd be fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, if you're just so old where you do the thing where, like, orange juice is too spicy. Like, you shouldn't be president.
Well, you should also maybe see if you're having a stroke, because
I can't have orange juice because of the acid content.
Yeah, I honestly can't either. It really does hurt my tums. All right, everyone.
So are we too old?
Yes, we are too. We're
not, though. Natalie always reminds me, we're not old yet, man. Just because you're 37, it's about you fucking, just because you're kind of older and you're, you know, and we got a lot of rings inside of us, like a tree.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got 37 rings, each one just like, ooh, if you could just scrape one of those wings, you get fucking drunk and stoned.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, I can't even imagine.
One of our layers.
My friend, when I was growing up, Jared, he was always like, when I die, make sure you scrape my ashes from my lungs and you smoke that sweet resin. And I was like, yeah, bro, we're going to do resin lung hits. But thankfully, he didn't die, and he's still alive, and he's married to a wonderful person. So that's much better. All right, well, I think that's basically this week's side stories. What do you think, Henry?
I'm having a great time. Yes.
Hell yeah.
This is wonderful. I love spending time with my friends.
Yes, and we love spending time with you. And as we
had such a good time. Again, man, good tour. I love being on tour.
Oh, it's so fun. It's ridiculous.
It's the best.
And Marcus finally let us get pepperoni pizza in the green room.
It's so nice he let us get us. Because
literally
he bothers his stomach.
Years.
It bothers his stomach, and then he has to have it. He has his Snickers. He has his Snickers that he can have for himself that gives him his energy.
No,
and he's got his water. He needs his water, and then he has his one cider, and he's ready to go.
And you forgot the key, the five-hour energy drink. Literally, Marcus eats a Snickers, five-hour energy drink, a cider beer, and just like, anyway.
But we were talking about this stream this week about how, like, he doesn't eat. But he doesn't eat.
I know.
It's not like an anorexic thing.
No, no.
But he only eats half a sandwich. He's like, oh, this is a lot of food. Being like, you eat like you're like what's her name? Like Naomi Campbell.
Yeah.
But you don't look like Naomi Campbell.
No, he doesn't look like Naomi Campbell. No, not at all. Although he's in fine shape, from what I understand.
I mean, his blood is good.
I hope
he
so.
He needs some sun.
Yes, he needs vitamin D. Insert your own joke there. But the doctor did literally say he needs to get outside more because we keep him chained up to the desk. But because he was chained up to a desk for almost 2 years, our book will be out in February. Cannot wait for you to read it. Also, Vancouver, as we said up top, please come out. There are some tickets available. Come out. We can't wait to hang out in Vancouver with you. We're super excited. Get those tickets, and we will see you very, very soon.
Dude. Yeah. I can't wait, man. I remember, man, you gotta live this life.
You do.
Knowing that some people are not gonna be into what you do.
No.
All right? But you gotta do it because you gotta live knowing that. Sometimes people are not gonna be a fan.
If everyone's into what you do, what is then you're just McDonald's.
You're just some piece of shit. Yeah. You're just some fucking mass turned out, like, you know,
a corporate Sheldon.
You gotta love what makes some people hate you, because that's the thing that makes you you.
Yeah.
How about that bon mot? All right? And you got to laugh at the people that dislike what you do. You got to laugh at them because they have absolutely no power. They are small. You are huge.
Absolutely. And also, if you do give to our Patreon, number one, thank you so much. Number two, we have a great interview this week. Henry and I had a chance to interview the director of Hail Satan.
Penny Lane. So knowledgeable. It's so cool to see like the reading that she did. What a great talk with her. And it's also a great documentary.
Yes, absolutely. So check out the documentary. And if you give $5 a month to our Patreon, check out the interview. Thank you all so much. And again, with the Patreon, you get first dibs on all of the tickets that will inevitably be going on sale. And you can see us at the live shows. We cannot wait. Again, KC, Denver, Salt Lake City. It was so great to see all of you. Literally one of the best three city tours we've ever done. All three were just, the crowds were so sweet. Everyone was so cool. Denver is just so beautiful. Salt Lake City is gorgeous. I wish they would legalize it because it looks like a great city to just go like smoke and look at the mountains. And then, of course, KC, we had that wonderful barbecue from Joe's, and it was a delight.
God, it was good. It did make the show a little bit of a struggle.
Well, I had meat sweats. I legitimately was sweating on stage, not because of the hot lights, because it was the meat. So
yes,
anyway,
yes,
that happened.
It was bad for our bodies, otherwise, it was a great trip. And I'm really excited about Vancouver, Seattle, Portland. Oh, we have Portland's such like another home away from home. We can't see all right, we got friends up in that shit. Yep. Can't wait to see your fucking asses.
And Seattle as well. So thank you all for coming out. We can't wait to see you all. And don't forget, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalation.
Triple L, baby.
Triple L, baby. Don't, yeah, well. Right.
Oh, that's weird.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine. And it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lastpod.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs who are looking to stand out and succeed online. Everyone knows the holidays can take a toll on your bank account. If you're looking for a creative way to increase revenue and give your family and friends the holiday treats they deserve, then you need to get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. If I needed to give a class on digging holes, I'd do it. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online course. Start with a professional layout that fits your brand. Upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills. And tailor your course with the powerful built-in Fluid Engine Editor. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or you can sell subscriptions. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace Courses. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/left.